firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And today, our journey on the Bible bus takes us to 1 Samuel chapter 18, where we hear more about Saul's evil plans to kill David. It's an exciting study, so stay with us. But first, let's take a few minutes to talk with Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, who's here to give us an update on the World Prayer Team. So hi, Greg, and where are we off to today?
Well, good to see you, Steve. And today we want to turn our attention to the country of Vietnam. And you and I have shared with our listeners this exciting ministry that we've been involved in. And it's kind of, in some ways, it's a challenge to describe it in its entirety, but we call it a speaker box ministry. So if you think of a little SD memory card that you might have, say, in your digital camera or you use for some sort of storage, you can plug that into a speaker box, and people will listen in small groups, even big groups. I've personally witnessed people listening in markets and different public places, and it really is a wonderful way to get TTB in Vietnamese, as well as about eight other ethnic minority languages throughout the country of Vietnam.
And so this is really an expansion of our not just radio, but other delivery methods, and it's been very successful in Vietnam. How long have we been doing this?
We've been doing this for about 5 years, and we've really seen it grow. And we don't know exact numbers, but we do know that huge numbers of people are listening. And here's what's great about it. It's like any digital delivery system. You can hear it as many times as you want.
Whenever you want.
Whenever you want. And these folks are listening, and they are like dry sponges. They just are soaking it up. For example, they would tell me that they would give them a month worth of radio programs. They'd come back in a week or 2 weeks and say, we need more.
Yeah. Now, I know the thing that we always love to read are the letters
and
words of encouragement we hear. So let's focus on Vietnam as we do that. This first one is from, we have him listed as Mr. X, and he is a hub leader. And a hub leader would be like a small group leader that would actually take care of the logistics, I imagine, getting the SD card and playing it for the group and maybe facilitating the Bible study that happens afterwards.
That's correct.
And here's the letter. For many years, my wife has had severe depression bordering on mental illness. Since she took on the responsibility of distributing the gospel messages at the hub, so I guess it was his wife that did this, my wife has been listening to a steady stream of Bible teaching many hours a day. After 3 months, all symptoms of depression disappeared, and our family situation turned 180 degrees in the right direction. Recently, with the distribution of the new series on the Book of Romans from the TTB program, both my wife and I can testify on the positive impact of the teaching in our own lives. We have resurrendered our lives to God and committed to serving in our church with love.
And Steve, when I read this report just recently, I realized I actually met this couple on a trip to Vietnam. And I saw this lady, and she did not look depressed to me. She really was joyful. And it's really thrilling when I realize this story, it really is real. I did meet these people. So this is just one example of so many people who are being touched by Through the Bible through this Vietnamese speaker box ministry.
Well, we would invite you, if you haven't already joined our World Prayer Team, to be able to pray for countries like Vietnam and all the countries that we're broadcast in around the world. Do it today. Go to ttb.org/pray. Now, Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open our study?
Heavenly Father, we are always touched by the privilege that we have of sharing your word so freely with so many people in so many places. Thank you for the encouragement of this one family and so many others like them whose lives are being transformed and they're surrendering their lives to you. We pray as we open your word and study together that you would do a similar work in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now friends, we are coming today to 1 Samuel 18. And I want to say as we come to this chapter, we are now looking at this man David. You'll recall that we saw last time the fact that David had overcome the giant, and I didn't dwell in that very long for the very simple reason it's such a familiar story, but there are great spiritual lessons that we actually just pass by, but we need probably just say today that the giant represents the world, and Saul, I think, represents Satan. And David represents the Lord Jesus Christ and the believer today who's in Christ. David treated Goliath as an enemy. We're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but we're in the world, but not of it. We're to use it, but not abuse it. And we find that what a difference between David and Samson. Samson treated the Philistine as a friend. He married one of them. But David treated this fellow Goliath, he was an enemy. And the world system, this cosmos today, not the world of people, but the system in the world is the enemy of the believer today. And the very interesting thing is, it's the faith of David that enabled him to go out to meet the giant. And we're told that faith is the victory that overcometh the world, and that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's the same thing that Joshua met at Jericho, and he found out that the battle is the Lord's. And he found out something else here. He could not use the weapons of this world. He had to use his own weapons, his own methods, and those were the ones that God had schooled him in. And the believer needs to recognize that today. Now in the 18th chapter, we see that this man Saul had a son Jonathan that we've seen before. Jonathan was an outstanding man. And David and Jonathan became very wonderful friends, because actually David was Jonathan's kind of man and Jonathan was David's kind of man. And they both were outstanding men, and they are men that God can use, by the way. And we find that Saul becomes jealous of David because of the people's applause. Now notice this as we come to it here in chapter 18, and we'll move right along. I'm reading now 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that is, David was speaking to Saul. You remember that Saul called him in after the battle, wanted to recognize him, wanted to give him a recognition, and he did. And I think he felt like he gave him too much, though, because of what happened later. But as Jonathan, the son of Saul, stood there listening to David, why, we're told that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. The relationship of these two men is quite wonderful. We speak so much today of the love of a man for a woman, and that is wonderful. But there's nothing that is as fine and noble as when two men that are outstanding men as these were, they see in each other actually a mirror of themselves, and they're drawn together. They are friends. They can have their athletics together, their recreation together. They work together, and their social life together. David and Jonathan were drawn together. And we're told here, verse 2, and Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. David now becomes a public figure, and he occupies that position the rest of his life. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. These two would stick together, and there's nothing quite like it. They can form clubs today named for these men, but you don't find quite the friendship that these men had. And in verse 4, and Jonathan stripped himself of his robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. You see, after all, David was a peasant boy. He'd been herding sheep, and he'd come up to the palace, and actually, he didn't have the clothes for it. And so Jonathan just turned over to him one of his many changes of garments and shared his wardrobe with him. And it was a very generous thing to do. And in verse 5, and David went out whithersoever Saul went, and behaved himself wisely. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now David had that charisma that we hear so much about today that made him accepted to the public. David is actually a great man. God looked on his heart. The people looked on the outside, but David is good on both inside and outside. Now he sinned. We're going to see that when we get to it. And I think that we'll be able to offer an explanation that will be satisfactory. And we're told that it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. But notice what they said. They had a new song. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, Saul's not going to like that. Notice verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And he's right. He will get the kingdom also. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. You see, now Saul becomes jealous of David because of the people's applause and acceptance of him. And we'll see now that he'll make an attempt to destroy him, to remove him. And we'll see that David does become the favorite of the people. So David sees that this man is not as friendly as he once was, that he is actually jealous of him. And we read in verse 10, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. He prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. This is quite a dramatic scene. There is David playing on a harp. There's Saul sitting over there playing on a javelin. David knows what he's got in mind, and he's watching that javelin, not his musical instrument. He may have hit a sour note or two, I don't know, but he doesn't want that javelin going through him. And it came at last. Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I'll smite David even to the wall with it. He wanted to get rid of him. I tell you, David dodged and he departed. He took French leave and he got out of that palace and that area as quickly as he could. And Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, and now he becomes afraid of him. In verse 16, we're told, but all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. David now is the one that is being accepted. And so Saul is wondering how he can trap him. And he uses a very clever method. He gives him his daughter for wife. And that puts him in the family where he can get to David any time that he would want to. And this girl, Michal, I do not think David ever loved her. And I don't think she ever loved David. Now came the day when she ridiculed him and despised him, and he put her aside. We blame David for so many marriages, but actually he certainly got off to a bad start here with this girl. And I read verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And somebody says, but you say she didn't love David. Well, you know that type of love we're talking about. There came the day when she hated him. And here at the beginning, it was that love of the hero and the fact that he is the popular one at the time. But it was not that marital love that's needed to make a success of marriage. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And so he gave his daughter to David. And this was not a successful, a good marriage at all. And actually, it didn't work out, as we're going to see. Now we come to chapter 19, and we will find that the thing that happens is that Saul now openly attempts to have David slain. He personally here attempts to slay him with a javelin as David plays upon his harp, and David escapes, and he becomes as a hunted man. And let me just get into this chapter. I'm going to deal with it, I think, rather hurriedly, because this is a section we can pass through rather hurriedly. In the 19th chapter, now I'm reading verse 1 of 1 Samuel. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. He said to him, I want you to get out of here, because your life is in danger here in the palace. Now he said, I'll go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I'll commune with my father of thee, and what I see that I'll tell thee. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to theeward very good. He's actually helped you. He's a wonderful citizen of your kingdom, and he's a wonderful follower of yours, and you ought not to try to kill him. But notice, verse 5, but he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. The Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Now Jonathan calls David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Now he comes back to the palace, but he's wary because he knows his life is in danger. And we're told there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. But notice the reaction of King Saul to this. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. Now again, we have this very dramatic scene. David is playing, Saul is fingering his javelin. Well, we know what he's going to do. David knows that the time will come, and he will throw that javelin with the intent of pinning David to the wall. And verse 10, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Now David knows it's no longer safe to be in the presence of Saul. But he's married to Saul's daughter. Verse 11, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. Now here at the beginning, Michal is on his side. Michal let David down through a window, and he went down and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth, just as if David was in bed there with her. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He's sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And the messengers were come in. Behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me? So I sent away mine enemy, that he's escaped. And Michal answered Saul, He said unto me, Let me go. Why shouldst I kill thee? In other words, she says, Why, he would have killed me if I didn't let him escape. Now we are told that David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel to Ramah, told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. Actually, this man Samuel's life would be in danger now, because he's the one that had anointed him as king. And so his life would be in grave danger. Now, what will the future hold for David at this particular time? Because Saul now openly is attempting to slay him. And David now becomes just like a hunted animal from here on until the death of Saul. Now, Jonathan, the son of Saul, proves his love for David by protecting him. And we're going to see that in chapter 20 now. And Jonathan communicates with David the intentions of Saul by the means of shooting these arrows. And he had to do it because Saul knows now that even Michal, his daughter, has deceived him. And he knows that Jonathan and David are good friends. And so Jonathan has to be very wary, very careful, and very secretive about getting a communication to David. And he uses this method. And we find it here in chapter 20. I begin reading now at verse 1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" David says, "What have I done?" He had actually helped Saul. But you see, this man, he was never a king. God knew he wasn't. He wasn't God's choice. But it was the same thing that you have in the time of Moses, that he granted their requests, but he sent leanness to their souls. He fattened them up with quail. They wanted meat. He gave it to them. But you see, they weren't trusting God. And that is the thing that is evident in that. And if they had only trusted the Lord, and not have cried out and had been satisfied with manna, they would have found that their hearts would have been satisfied. There'd been joy and peace in their lives. Oh, how many Christians today are way out yonder, head of the Lord, begging him for this and that and the other thing, and not willing to rest quietly and let God work out things in our lives. And it's true of many of us today, that he grants our request. And somebody says, "Well, isn't that wonderful when he answers prayer?" Not always. Sometimes we keep begging him for something, he gives it to us, and it's the worst thing that we could have. A very wealthy man in the state of Florida told me about his son. He's lost him. And he said, "You know, the biggest mistake that I ever made was to give him everything that he wanted." Yes, God sometimes, when you and I just keep after him. But what happens? He sent leanness to their souls. And now we find that is true of the children of Israel. They should not have had Saul as king. He certainly is causing a problem. And David is puzzled. Why in the world are things happening to him like this? And verse 2, "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die." Now, this is Jonathan, his friend. "Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." In other words, Jonathan says, if he makes a move to slay you, or whatever move he does make in order to slay you, I'll know about it. Now, he said to him, "I want you to trust me, and I will communicate with him." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." What a statement that is. And friends, that's not only true of David in that day, that's true of you and me today. And that doesn't mean those of us that drive the freeways of Southern California and the highways of this country today. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are. You and I are in just a step of death. There's but a step between me and death. And Isaiah put it like this, that there's just a heartbeat between you and death, between you and me and death, I should say, because it could come to us any time. And that's the reason we ought to be ready to move out into eternity into the presence of God, by the way. How many folk today have made every arrangement for this life, but have you made arrangement for the next life? If you should die at this moment, would you go into the presence of God, a saved individual, trusting Christ as your Savior? Well, may I say to you, you ought not to put it off any longer. And until next time, may God richly bless you.
If you'd like to know more about trusting God with your life, both here in this world and for eternity, we'd love to share a few free resources with you. Just visit us at ttb.org and click on the banner that says, How Can I Know God? Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, tomorrow we'll continue our 5-year journey on the Bible bus. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.